We are now in your presence as we assemble together on our way, and we're in your presence when we're apart from one another. And we rejoice this day that we can be together, celebrating your presence and being in one another's presence. As we celebrated last night the departure of our sister, Esther Nat, and as we will be celebrating this departure of others in the near future, knowing this, that a moment when we die, immediately, in a twinkling of an eye, we are in the Father's presence. And all the things, all the trappings of this world have passed away. And there is what joy set before us. And just as Brother Alan shared today about us becoming God's jewels, you are the greatest thing in all God's creation, because you were created in his image and in his likeness. Why was the universe created? For us. Amen? Amen. To his name be all glory and honor and praise. In Yeshua's name, amen. And so, Father, now as we hear your message today, open up our ears that we may be able to hear. Open up our minds that we be able to discern your truth. And may we be inspired to follow your teaching that is given to us through Yeshua. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Part 2, Yeshua warns about the Hametz, that is the leaven. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, that's Matthew, chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. 16, verse 1. Then some of the Perishim, the Pharisees, and the Zudakim, the Sadducees, came to trap Yeshua by asking him to show them a miraculous sign from heaven. But his response was, "When it is evening, you say fair weather ahead because the sky is red. And in the morning, you say storm today because the sky is red and overcast. You know how to read the appearance of the sky, but you can't read the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation is asking for a sign. It will certainly not be given except the sign of Jonah. With that, he left them and he went off. He brought before them the book that they were to meditate on, so that just as the prophet who was backsliding, going in the opposite direction of the Lord God is King, because he was anointed and called to speak to the people of Nineveh, but he was following in his own doctrine. And by his own doctrine, he decided in himself, those people are not worthy to receive a warning that they need to turn from their sins. It's a dangerous place when a believer tries to reinterpret God's call on one's life. And that what is Yeshua is doing to them. He's saying, now go and read the book of Jonah and know these things to be true. Because Yeshua knew this, he had to startle them. And what did he say to them? He simply pointed them in the direction of the scriptures. He was setting this before them because they knew this, that the scriptures were giving to them to lead them into all truth, and that the doctrines and their estimation and their judgments that they had against him would be set in a brand new light, undeniable to them. And that just as Jonah was in the belly of that great sea monster for 3 days and three nights, in their lifetime, they would see that the one that was standing before them, the greatest true prophet of God, who is Yeshua himself, would one day die. And after 3 days and nights, he too would raise from the dead. So here was the scripture application in that they were to focus on. And you know what? What they did? They went and they searched through the scroll of Jonah. They read every word and they asked the Spirit of the living God to speak to them. That way, in the future, when Yeshua died and he rose from the dead, here was undeniable testimony of who he was, though they did not recognize him for who he was. Why? Because they were blind guides. The spiritual leaders of the house of Israel were blinded. And they were searching after, and they were putting before the people their example of going after worldly things. So let's continue here. Verse 5. Then the Talmudim, in crossing to the other side of the lake, had forgotten to bring any bread, which is also the Sea of Galilee. So when Yeshua said to them, "Watch out, guard yourselves against the Hametz of the Perishim and the Zedukim," the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought that he said it was because they hadn't bought bread with them. But Yeshua was aware of this, and he said, "Little trust do you have. Why are you talking with each other about having bread?" The bread here symbolizes the cares of the world. All right? How many of us, if we go to our apartments or go back to our home, there's food in our refrigerators, there's food in our cabinets, right? There's provision, all right? But Yeshua and his Talmudim, there was no place for them to lay their head at night. And they were walking by faith. Sometimes they had food with them, sometimes they didn't. But they saw that the Lord provided daily for their needs. And this is what he's trying to establish in their hearts. Do not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be like I am showing you to be, for I am the true spiritual leader of Israel. Don't you understand yet, and don't you remember that the 5 loaves and the 5,000 Jewish men, and how many baskets you filled? 12. Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 Gentile men, and how many baskets you filled? 7. How can you possibly think I was talking to you about bread? Guard yourself from the Hametz, the Perishim, and the Sadducees. Then they understood. They were to guard themselves not from the yeast for the bread, but from the teaching of the Perishim and the Sadducees, the Pharisees and the scribes. It was simply laid out before them. And finally, they got the picture. The Perishim and the Sadducees had this in common. They were both blinded to the true meaning and the significance of what has been happening all around him. Here's the message. We can see from their predictions of the weather that their physical eyes and their mental faculties are in perfect working order. But the fact that they are still demanding that Yeshua show them a sign from heaven is proof positive that they are still spiritually blinded. Just as our extended family members, though we of the same flesh, though we of the same culture and understanding in the flesh, those members of our family, we cannot truly have many things in common. Why? Because they're not spiritually born again. They don't have spiritual eyes to see. And that's so what we do we pray earnestly? That the veil of their misunderstanding will be removed from their eyes, that they may be able to now spiritually see and comprehend. Because their spiritual faculties are out of order. While they are fully focused on the matters of this life, yet knowingly and willingly quench the heavenly light that is being revealed to them by Yeshua's miracles. Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation is asking for a sign. It will certainly not be given a sign except the sign of Jonah. With that, Yeshua left and he went off. Verse 4, Jonah was sent to prophesy to non-Jews of Nineveh in Assyria. Where is that now? Iraq and part of Syria. And what's going on in Syria right now? That's right. There's tribulation going. Because can you imagine if the descendants of Nineveh were still alive today? How great repentance that they gave and salvation came to that city. The reluctant prophet warned them to repent. Remember, hear that word. He was reluctant because these were the very enemies of God. He wanted judgment upon their heads for the evil that they'd done to the nation of Israel. The results of all the city was that it repented. Abba, Father God, held back his judgment And salvation came, Yeshua, to that city. But if you study history, God's judgment did come against that city for the sins that they had committed. But that generation that received salvation, they were spared. And the scripture says this, that in the last days, at the day of judgment, that city of Nineveh shall arise and be a rebuke to the Jewish nation who did not receive Messiah. Because when they were made known of their sin, they repented and salvation came unto them. Just as Alan was sharing today, in today's Torah portion, God will judge us righteously. We already know what to do. He's given us a conscience even before we become believers and even before we come to know the scripture to lead us and help us into all truth. Continuing, that is Yeshua's hope when the perishim and the Zidukim, the Sadducees, would reread the book of Jonah so that they could have their eyes spiritually reopened and repent and receive salvation, who is standing before them, looking them eye to eye, and they hear his voice. The voice of the creator of all things. But you know what? Their ears are dull of hearing because they're walking in only their doctrines and their teachings and their interpretation of scriptures. Our Jewish people have been lost for centuries. Why? Because they've been focusing on what? Commentaries. What is the Mishnah? What is the Talmud? It is simply man's opinion of what the scripture says. How can man or woman receive salvation? By meditating on the pure scriptures. And that's what Yeshua is warning to his Talmudim here. You guys are being led astray. Here you're following me. I'm spending 24/7 with you. But yet you're following after these teachings. You need to break away from the interpretation of the Pharisees and the scribes that you may have eternal life. And that was not even said for that day, but even today. Who are you listening to? Those who you receive teaching from, are they lifting up the scriptures? Are they asking you to think and use your own mind and for you to inquire the Spirit of the living God that what has been said to you is even scriptural? You are to be guardians over your own souls. We cannot blame a rabbi, a pastor, or anyone else. When we stand before the Lord of glory and we hear those words that Alan said today, depart from me, for I never knew you. See, Yeshua here has an intimate relationship with these guys. But you know what? As soon as the Pharisees and scribes come, they think, oh my goodness, we need to come and receive what they have to say. But Yeshua is declaring to them, think for yourselves. You have the scriptures. And how does Yeshua speak to the Pharisees and scribes? He points them what? Not to his commentary, not to his interpretation of scripture, but he says, go and read the scripture yourselves. Because then the Spirit of the living God shall lead you into all truth. Amen. What does the enemy, Hasatan, try to do? He's tried to remove the Torah and destroy it. Burn it, burn it, burn it. Right? The different translations of the Bible. What's his heart's desire? To destroy it. In Nazi Germany, what were they burning? Books and Bibles. Why? Because they wanted people to come into a brand new kingdom. Isn't it amazing? A thousand-year Reich. Where did they steal that from? The Messiah shall rule from Jerusalem where? In Jerusalem for how many years? 1,000 years. Counterfeit. And that's why we have to focus on the original so that when the counterfeit comes and you hear counterfeit teaching, something in your mind and heart says to you, this, there's something mixed up here. That man or that woman has told me part of the truth, but I discern there's something wrong. You are then to investigate for yourselves and allow the Spirit of the living God to lead you into all truth. Amen? The hour is late, and there are many charismatic men and women who will arise with all miraculous signs and wonders. Okay? Don't be caught up in the signs of wonders. Because this is what the holy apostles did. They said for you to search the scriptures. When Rav Shaul was there speaking and presenting the good news to the men of Berea, a synagogue, all right? It wasn't a church. Churches did not exist. It was a synagogue. And he commended them because, you know what? Paul had the ability to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. Here was all the signs and wonders. But he said, the men of Berea, what did they do? They were focusing on the scripture. Just as Yeshua said to the Pharisees and the scribes, focus, I give you this one thing. Because when Hasatan tried to deceive Yeshua, when he was in the wilderness, he was giving his interpretation. But what did Yeshua say? He simply rebuked him by scripture. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, it's great to go to conferences, buy books, but read the original manuscript. You will never be led astray if you simply read and meditate on the manuscript. Because you've been grafted in to the holy house of Israel, and just as they are called the people of the book, you are to become the people of the book. Amen? Let's continue. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Leaven hametz is usually a symbol for sin. Isn't it amazing? What are we getting prepared for? Passover. And so what is traditionally done in the Jewish home? All the leaven is removed, okay? So here we are, 1 Corinthians 5, 5 and 6. Here tells Rav Shaul to the Corinthians, not only that each individual should guard against personal sin, but also that permitting a promiscuous sinner who professes to be a follower, a fellow believer, to remain in their midst is a sure way to infect the entire messianic community with sin. All right? By now, the bread should be something very familiar to us. With the mention of bread in chapter 16 of Matthew, we can't help be reminded of the feeding of the 4,000 in chapter 15 and the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14. This does seem to be repeated, and that now that the focus is on bread. So you can't fault the Talmudim on this because they've just experienced the multiplication of bread time and time again. It's amazing. Here's a gentleman. His name is Alfred Edersheim, a 19th century Hebrew Christian scholar. And this is his opinion. He suggests that the Talmudim, the disciples, thought Yeshua believed that they had not brought bread in order to have Yeshua do another bread-making miracle. In other words, his estimation is this, that they may have been saying to Yeshua, well, we'd like to see another miracle. They were in the same place where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. This would have been some same sort of sign fishing that the Perushim, the Zidukim, the Pharisees and scribes had been doing, and would have been an indication of there, the Talmudim, having little trust. Just as they were putting Yeshua to the test, his own disciples were putting him to the test. So what is the Hametz leaven of the Perushim Zedekim? We know very well from verse 12 that Yeshua is actually referring to their teaching, their interpretation of the scriptures. How to live out the scriptures, all right? Simplified, daily. But what do the Perushim and the Zidukim, the Pharisees and the scribes, have in common in their teaching? What specifically is Yeshua referring to when he warns of the Hametz, the leaven of the Perushim and Zidukim? In fact, that Yeshua names the Perushim and Zidukim together means that he must have them in mind. The recent encounter in Matthew 16, 1 and 4. Both the Perishim and the Zidukim required a sign from heaven before they would believe. All right? But what they'd heard for many, many days and years, all these miracles, and some of them bore witness because they were there. But still, that wasn't good enough. They wanted just one more sign. Have you ever seen that one great painting of Adam and Abba, Father God? And it shows this. Angels kind of holding Abba, Father God, so he will not plummet. And he's fully extended to Adam. And here's Adam, he's sitting back and he's reclining. And what is he doing? He has his fingers slightly bent. That's right. That's right. To God. God has fully extended himself for our salvation. But just as Adam was at that point, so were the Perishim and the Sadducees. You know what? Just show me another little miracle. Then I'll extend my finger fully so we can touch. All right? See, they were playing games. Because you know what? If Yeshua was in a natural state, he could have called down fire from heaven for them. Here's your sign. All right? And destroyed them. But he showed them grace and mercy. And so should we. Because there are times, I know this, we as believers, as we're sharing our faith with family members, we get so frustrating. Can't you see? It's so clear. Right? And it's amazing how many times God does not use me to bring salvation to my own household. He uses somebody else. That's a humbling and a beautiful experience, is it not? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They both require proof on demand, and of the kind that would be appealed to their physical senses, something that would be wow, to shock them and awe them, right? A lot of people are going to congregations to hear the great music to get them so emotionally all riled up and to see a show, to be entertained. Well, did you hear that message by the rabbi or the pastor? Wow, that was just, it blew me away. It becomes like what? Going to see a movie. Where's all the special effects, right? How many special effects go on at your congregation? In parentheses, the moving of the Spirit. But how many lives are being changed? How many people are being transformed by the washing of the Word of God? Are they searching the Scriptures? Or are the people putting on hypocrisy? Are they simply acting out their faith? And it's just all that, hypocrisy, acting. Continuing. This could only mean that they were both blinded to the true and spiritual meaning of the signs that Yeshua was already performing, of Yeshua's miracles, of healing, of his casting out of demons. So the demand for a sign was really just a reflection of the fact that both the Perishim and Zidukim were preoccupied with the mere materialistic worldly concerns. Think about that. Remember the prosperity teachings? Right? Brother, sister, if you'll faithfully give $100, God will be obligated to give you $1,000. Twisting scripture for the gains of few. Men and women who have mansions upon this earth, robbing the innocent of God for their own worldly gain. God will judge that. Amen. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the religious leaders of their day, promoting how to prosper in God, but yet they were blind guides. In here and now, the Perishim and in their ideas about the coming kingdom, their teaching of both Perishim and Zedekim portrayed a very this worldly focus that made them blind to the true spiritual realities of the Messiah Yeshua's kingdom. And the realities were all around them. They could touch, they could feel them, but their eyes were blind. So Yeshua says, watch out, guard yourselves against the Hametz, the leaven of the Purushim Zidikim. Watch out and guard yourselves. Notice that Yeshua doubly emphasizes this, warning to the Talmudim, who are his disciples. The idea is this, watch out and guard yourselves. But why the extra emphasis? Should we assume that the Talmudim are so somehow extra vulnerable to this Hametz, the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? In Matthew 16:7, they thought that he said it was because they hadn't brought bread, literal bread. We know that Yeshua is not talking about this literal bread for the stomach, but the Talmudim don't know that yet. Why? Because their eyes are blinded to the truth. To their mind, and especially to the light of their worries about the shortage of bread, when Yeshua refers to the Hametz, the leaven, of the Purushim and Zidikim, what else can they be thinking about but literal bread? Why? Because their spiritual eyes had not been opened to the truth. Obviously, Yeshua had become aware of this predicament, and he is now warning them against buying, he's not warning them against buying any bread from the Purushim and Zidikim. Because you know what? In their day, since they were the wealthy of the villages, they may run a bakery. All right? So he was not warning against literal bread and for them to go and purchase that from them. Now, before we start shaking our hands at the Talmudim, let us ask ourselves this. If we really think we would have responded differently, I haven't in the past. Until my eyes have been spiritually opened. And I got the full revelation and understanding what God wanted to show me. Has there been times when you've read the scripture and you just don't get it? Amen. Many, 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 many times. That's why we have to pour our lives in the scripture. So the scripture becomes our life. Amen. And we live out the scripture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Continuing, have you ever gone on a trip and then forgot your money or your food at home? Then you arrive there, then you're searching through the ashtray, because I never smoked, that's where I'd put my spare change, or through the seats or underneath the seats for spare change because you're hungry and you want to go over to the store and buy these things. So God knows that we need all these things, right? So that's where they were. They were thinking from their carnal nature, just as we do, even as mature believers in Messiah. Lord, where am I going to live? How am I going to make that next payment? The Lord knows all these things. Are we going to trust him? Matthew 16:8-10. But Yeshua was aware of this. Such little trust you have, he declares them. Why are you talking to each other about literal bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 Jewish men and how many baskets you filled up? 12. Or the 7 loaves and the 4,000, the people of the nations. And how many baskets you filled that day? 7. Don't worry about that, okay? Don't worry about the literal bread. For Yeshua's Talmudim, the temporary lack of bread due to the accidental oversight is really no big deal, all right? The real problem here is not the bread or the lack of bread. But notice that Yeshua says this, such little trust you have. What Yeshua is asking his Talmudim, have you ever seen the true meaning of the bread of the 5,000 and the bread for the 4,000? What this bread is to say of who, capital, I am. He's revealing to them, I'm the little representative of Abba, Father God, to you. Have you not understand that I, capital, am the true bread of life? And that my teaching is the true bread of life. Where were they looking? For their spiritual status? But with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But here, who was the literal bread of life? Because what city was he born in? Bethlehem. The house of bread. Bread that gives eternal life. Continuing. Isn't this more important and significant than the bread that you forgot to bring with you in the boat? But if you have understood these things then, Matthew 16:11, how can you possibly think that I'm talking to you about bread? The true meaning of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000 was not just the provision of literal bread for the filling of empty stomachs. It was a sign and symbol of the true bread of life who is standing before them. But if you understand this, then how can you fail to understand that even now I'm not speaking to you about literal bread? Matthew 16:11. Guard yourselves against the hametz of the Purishim and Zadukim. What is the hametz of the Purishim and Zadukim? It is their teaching, specifically their teaching that suffers from their preoccupation with the mere materialistic worldly concerns. And just as I said before, we've gone through those prosperity teachings. You know what we found them to be? False misinterpretation of the revelation of God's word. Amen? The teaching of the Purishim and Zadukim results in this worldly focus that causes people to be blinded to the true spiritual realities of Messiah Yeshua's kingdom. And now, look at the Talmudim, have now fallen into this very trap that Yeshua is warning them against. And in their anxious preoccupation with the bread for the stomach, they have become completely oblivious to the true meaning of what Yeshua is saying. Have you done that? I have. The cares of this world at times in my spiritual walk with the Lord have come to the forefront. And there have been times when I've been so focused on that, that I was not even looking towards the Lord for his provision. Ouch. That's the truth. Continuing. Yeshua is not warning them against the literal bread of the Purishim and Sadducees. Instead, Yeshua is warning them against the kind of teaching that ends up placing higher premium on the bread for the stomach than on the true bread of life. Who is he? And since the Talmudim have now proved how much they need this warning, don't we need the same warning today? I do. So every time when I hear someone preach or speak, or when I read a book, you know what I do? I take out the scripture, and I look up every scripture quotation that they quote with this brand new revelation that they've received from the Lord. You know what happens? It takes me longer to read a book, right? But you know what the benefit is? I'm discerning whether or not this is a teaching from God. And I'm eating bread that does not give me life. We need to do this, my brothers and sisters. That's why when you hear these podcast messages, have your Bibles out. And when the scripture is quoted, meditate on the scripture and see the things that I speak, Alan speaks, Barbara speaks, Tim speaks, and others that come and speak, whether they're speaking the true word of God or not. Otherwise, you know what it is? It is bread made out of sawdust that gives no life. It fills us up, but it does not give us any nutrients. Continuing, Matthew 16:12. They understood that they were to guard not from the yeast for the bread, but from the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, can you imagine what happened when the Talmudim finally understood? I can only assume that their temporary lack of bread would no longer have seemed that important. Not that it is not fun to miss a meal, but there are more important realities than temporary lack of bread and his ever-present danger of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So that when we become so preoccupied with bread, the cares of this world, and we become insensitive to the spiritual kingdom of Yeshua, that can happen at any time as we journey and walk with the Lord. Isn't this the constant danger that we face today? False teaching? Our preoccupation with the realities of this life, of this world, makes us insensitive to the things of Messiah Yeshua's kingdom. Because what are we to be all about? The kingdom. Building the kingdom. Making other Talmudim. If you're not doing that, then you will stand face to face with the Lord in glory and he'll say to you, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." That's the Great Commission, my brothers and sisters. It's not owning beautiful buildings, having mega congregations, you selling books, you selling your tapes, and becoming rich off it. It's building the kingdom of God and raising up Talmudim. That's the course and the path that the seed of Abraham is currently on. And all you who have come here, you're to receive that teaching and go out and raise up and make other Talmudim. That's what the body of Messiah is all about. It's that simple. Continuing, the Talmudim heard Yeshua talking about a loaf of bread that you buy in the marketplace, when in fact Yeshua was warning them about the spiritual dangers of false teaching. How could they have missed this? How could they have been so blinded, just as we have been blinded from time to time? I've had spiritual fathers and mothers that I've adored and walked after them and thought that every word that proceeded from their mouth was the word of God. And you know what? It was not. Because the Lord allowed circumstances in my life so that I would turn to the scripture and walk on the path that leads to life. Amen? Well, the same way that you and I are blinded every day to the things that really truly matter, the Talmudim fell into the very common error of letting relatively unimportant mundane concerns block out the teachings of Yeshua. Are you hearing his pure word? When was the last time that you shut off the TV, you shut off the tapes, you shut off everything, got in your room and simply opened up the scripture and asked Yeshua to speak to you? Has it been a while? Remember, whose relationship do you desire? Who's going to say to you when he looks in your eye, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." That's true relationship. That's what Yeshua was impressing upon him. It's relationship with him, not with the Pharisees and the scribes. For their lives are what? Like a vapor. They come, they arise for a time, and they're gone. But God's word is eternal. Then the Talmudim, they should have not allowed themselves to become so distraught over something so relatively minor that it controlled their very way of thinking and hearing. How do you interpret scripture? By what you have in your cupboards? What kind of car you drive? What home you live in? All that God has given you is sufficient. Rejoice in that and thank him for that daily. How often have we been blinded to the things that Abba Father God's word because we become preoccupied with the things of this life in this world? Our concern for the stuff of this life constantly distorting our hearing and blurring our vision so that even as we are reading the word and hearing the word and even studying and memorizing word, we remain oblivious. Why? Because we judge on what our brothers and sisters have in this life. Right? In America, those who are spiritually giants are those of great wealth, stature, and influence. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? God desires us to be his people and to rejoice what he's given us. We're unable to grasp the precious truths of Abba Father God's word because our minds and hearts are bent in another direction. They are preoccupied with realities of this world, with houses, lands, food, clothing, schools, jobs, cars and bills, even hobbies and toys. This was a problem with the teaching of the Perishim and Zidikim, the Pharisees and scribes. This worldly focus that blinded people to the far more important realities of Yeshua's kingdom. Do you see the pain and suffering in others? Or are you so preoccupied with where you're going to go out for lunch today? And so we hear Yeshua saying to us, no less than his first Talmudim. Remember, this word is eternal. We are to personalize this world. We're to take accounts. Do I line up with this word or am I on the wrong path? Watch out, guard yourselves against the Hamets, the Perishim, and Zedekim. If they have been in the Talmudim's sandals, having forgotten to bring bread, if we had been, Yeshua had spoken to us of the Hamets, the Perishim, and Zedekim. What would we have heard? Could be bread. Could be the next car payment. How am I going to pay my rent? Oh, Lord, are you focused on that? Be focused on the kingdom. Would we have heard Yeshua talking about literal bread, or would we have understood that Yeshua was warning us against the spiritual dangers of false teaching? So don't be anxious asking, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or how will we be clothed? For the pagans, I like that translation that says it like it is. Some translation says, well, the Gentiles. That's not good enough. For the pagans, who are the pagans? They're the ones worshiping false gods who set their hearts on all these things. That's their pursuit. What a rebuke to the spiritual leaders of Israel were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're pagans. They're worshiping the things of this earth. Yeshua can't make it any more clear. Continuing. They set their hearts on these things, the pagans, for your heavenly Abba knows that you need them all. Don't worry, that's small stuff. Continuing. But seek first his kingdom. I added this, not your own. Whose kingdom is it? It's his, not mine. And his righteousness. I added this, not my own. I have no righteousness. Scripture says of my righteousness, it is but filthy rags. Praise the Lord. His righteousness, his alone. Continuing. And all these things will be given to you as well. Philippians 3, 17, 20. Rav Shaul says this, brothers, join in imitating me. I set an example before you to follow. Pay attention to those who live according to the pattern that we have set before you. What was that? Sacrifice. Paul was working on the side so he can go about in the synagogues and proclaim the good news. He was fasting because there was no food to eat. He was spending time in prayer. He was there to build up others and not build himself up, to gather a following unto himself. He proclaimed Yeshua, and he proclaimed this, I want to know Yeshua in his sufferings. You know what that is? Laying down your life to the point that the kingdom is all that you desire to do. It's all about the kingdom. Continuing. For many I have told you about them often before. Even now I say in tears, live as enemies of Messiah Yeshua and his execution stake. They are headed for destruction. Who's he speaking about? Other believers who've gone after the things of the world. Their God is their belly. Ouch. That comes right back to me. They are proud of what they ought to be ashamed of. And since they are concerned about the things of this world. But we are what? We are citizens of heaven. It is from there that we expect a deliverer. Who is whom? Our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Could there be earthly concerns consuming your mind? Things that have been preventing you from really hearing Abba Father God's word and recognizing the things that are truly unimportant? Will you hand over your earthly concerns to the one who feeds the 5,000, the 4,000, and then find in exchange for these concerns about earthly bread that you actually end up with the true bread of life, the bread that really matters of all things? Shabbat Shalom.